Today on Older and Wiser.
Do you know your constitutional rights? A recent survey reveals most of us don't.
In fact, there's lots Americans don't know. We'll see if we could pass the test given to U.S. immigrants.
Also today, we've got surveys on wedding gifts, baldness, and who's most likely to cry at work.
You're listening to Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora, in the San Francisco suburbs.
And today, how much do Americans really know about our own government and our Constitution?
Yeah, not as much as we would think, I guess. According to this, a survey reveals that many Americans aren't clear on what's in the First Amendment.
Freedom of speech. First thing I think of. And the press. Freedom of the press.
Yeah, I think most people think freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania asked 1,000 people in the U.S. the open-ended question, what are the specific rights guaranteed by the First Amendment? 37% couldn't come up with one.
They didn't even know freedom of speech?
Not one. They couldn't come up with one. Now, if you start listing them, then people are like, okay, freedom of speech.
When was the last time you read the Constitution?
Certainly high school would be the last time we ever even talked about it. Yeah.
That's probably the answer for most everybody. They probably haven't looked at it since high school. So if you're talking to a high school senior who's really good at, U.S. history, fine. But if you're talking to adults who have been out of school for a couple of years or more, they're going to have to go back and take a look.
Only 15% of respondents came up with freedom of religion. 14% came up with freedom of the press. 10% say they knew that right of assembly was mm-hmm. one of our First Amendment rights. And only 3% could remember that you have a right to petition the government.
I would imagine if they had done this poll among people who had maybe just become citizens of the United States and did another poll with people who were born here, guess what? I think the differences would be vast and in the favor of the people who just became citizens or who are studying to. Yes, absolutely.
Makes you wonder even if we could pass a citizenship test to get into this country ourselves.
Good question.
CNN recently put together selected 10 of the questions from the U.S. citizenship test and made a little quiz out of it. So you want to take the quiz?
Sure, Susan takes the quiz.
See how much you know. All right,
ahead.
Here we go. This is question number one. Here we go. We elect a president for how many years? 2, 4, 6, or 8?
4.
Of course. The House of Representatives has how many voting members? 453, 345, 534, or 435?
Is it 534?
I'm sorry, it's 435. Okay, 435 voting members. Okay. Which is not a cabinet-level position? Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of Communications, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Agriculture.
The second one, Communications.
Communications, of course. So Interior, Energy, Agriculture, these are all cabinet posts.
Uh-huh.
All right, very good.
And as we know now, they come, they go. Okay, fine.
Who is in charge of the executive branch? The president, the speaker of the house, the chief justice, or the majority whip?
The president.
Correct. The president is in charge of the executive branch. Which war wasn't fought by the United States in the 1900s?
Oh, God.
The Afghanistan War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, or World War One?
The first one, the Afghanistan War?
Correct.
Why isn't there a ding, ding, ding and bells going off when I get one right?
What is the name of the national anthem? The American Anthem, God Bless America, the Star-Spangled Banner, or War of Honor?
Star-Spangled Banner.
All right, very good. What piece of land did the United States buy from France in 1803? Alaska, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, or the Louisiana Territory?
Louisiana Territory.
Very good. Well, here's a good one. How many U.S. senators are there?
Oh, I know that. 100.
That's correct. Okay. Each state has two.
100, right.
When is the last day you can send in federal income tax forms? March 25th, April 15th, April 21st, or May 1st?
April 15th, unless they have an extension for the year, which I'm sure is not given in the options. Question.
You're right. It was April 15th.
Okay. Yes.
And finally, who did the United States fight in World War II? Germany and Italy, North Korea, Germany, and Japan, Vietnam, Germany, and Italy, or Japan, Germany, and Italy?
First one was Germany and Italy, I believe.
There's one more country in that mix.
So. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you wait. Tell me the options again. Oh, I'm wasting time. What is it?
It was actually Japan, Germany, and Italy. Germany. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear Japan in that. I'm
sorry.
Okay.
Japan was part of that. So, so technically, you got 7 out of 10 right. I think you could have passed that last one. Give you 8. 8 out of 10. That's 80%. I think we could accept you in this country. I think we're going to have to let you
stay.
In. Moving on, a recent survey from KNOT, K-N-O-T, says that 47% of Americans reportedly need help figuring out wedding gift etiquette. In other words, you're invited to a wedding. How should I do this? Half of people aren't really sure is basically what they're saying here. How much money should I spend, for example?
I tell
this registry thing, I don't know about.
It
seems a little sketchy to me that people even have a registry. I get it when you're 20 years old, maybe, and you're trying to set up your house for the first time and you don't have anything and you don't want 1,000, fondue pots. I get it. But it does seem, it doesn't seem in the spirit of giving.
Well, it's convenient for especially people who don't have time to shop or are out of town. That's one thing. But the second thing also, you can always give money. You can write a check. And if you're going to spend $50, even though you might think, oh, that's not going to look that good. But you know what? If you spend $50 on a gift and she doesn't like it, now she's got to go to the store, take it back or what have you, or he.
I guess that's true. I guess the registry kind of allows those people who are just incapable of coming up with an appropriate gift. Sort of just some guidance here.
Well,
you don't know what to get me here. Get me this. It's kind
of a lot of people. I got to tell you, most people take that stuff and it sits there.
It sits
either
on the shelf. Nobody ever uses that stuff.
Let's get it out for Thanksgiving.
Don't you think people spend too much money on weddings just in general?
Absolutely. They should. You know what? And you learn this later in life after you've spent too much on yours.
According to this survey, the average cost of hosting a wedding was $35,329.
Now, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's the average cost. So, those fancy weddings are just $100,000. So, if $35,000 is the average, imagine. The average guest spends $800 just to attend a wedding.
You mean if they're out of town?
Well, it could be out of town. I mean, this just says the average guest spends $800 to attend a wedding, and $118 of that goes to the gifts. I suppose a lot of that is travel and hotel and all that.
Yeah. I mean, if it's somebody really close and you've got to get there and fine. But, sometimes, guess what? And I've accepted this. I mean, people can't always get to you if you're out of – and a lot of people are spread out now. It's not like the old days when everybody lived in one town. That's way over. So, I mean, if you can't get there, you can't get there. Put an extra bunt, give her $200. That's more for a gift than you'd spend, but you're staying home and not spending the airfare.
So what have we learned here? I think what we have learned
shop
is
within that your means.
Shop within your means. You don't have to buy off the registry. And I would just say, if I can't afford to travel to your wedding, just send a gift and a card and say, best of luck.
Yes. Yeah. And, you can put a small check in there too. And guess what? If they don't understand that you sent a small check, not because you're being nasty or because you're being cheap, but because you can't afford it, then they're really not that close. And what do you care what they think?
All right. Okay. Moving on to our next survey. According to this survey, 41% of women have cried at work. What I found amazing was that according to this survey, 9% of men have cried at work. Is that true?
Well, it depends. Where are you crying? I mean, if I had to cry at work, and I don't remember ever really crying at work, I really don't. But I would think, save it for when you get home. That's number one. Or run into the ladies' room. Go into a stall and sob quietly if you have to. If there's nobody there, then you can let it out, but don't let it out so loud that somebody comes in to see if somebody's killing themselves in the ladies' room. The point is, most people are not going, I don't think, in this day and age, it's a negative thing, and they'll think, oh, she's a woman, she's crying.
What if you work in an onion factory? I think that maybe that accounts for the 9 or 10% of men who cry at work. That's all I can figure.
Well, either onion that factories, or they think it's okay. Maybe crying in the men's room.
Maybe they're testing facilities for like eye drops or something. That makes
Wait a minute,
them
do you cry. Have stalls in the men's room?
Yeah, there are stalls in the men's room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
you've never
been
in a men's room,
I
guess. Yeah. They have little signs up, no crying at the urinal. Yes, it's just not done.
Go in the car and cry there, you know, but
why are 40% of women crying at work and 10% of men are crying at work? Is there anything biological that allows men to cry less, or is it a learned skill to be able to control your tears?
It's probably a little bit of both, but it also, maybe women are not treated as well at work in the sense that they're paid less. We still don't have the Equal Rights Amendment back to the Constitution. Hello. Yeah. I mean, I remember talking about that when I was out of college, and that's a gazillion years ago. So
women
are still making less than men on the job.
Well, I think you really hit on something there. It isn't even just how much they're making. It's how they're treated.
It's
I think
both.
Women are treated in a more subservient way, mm-hmm. And especially not only by men, but by other women. You know, they are treated in a way that is dismissive. They can be treated in a way that is where they feel put down or made to feel stupid.
It's easier to walk all over them.
That,
I mean, in
yeah,
general,
I think it
it's
is
a big generalization, but I
and
think
they have no recourse.
People think it is,
yeah,
and they don't have a recourse because they think, well, where's she going to go?
Yeah.
Where's she going to go? But if she's got to have this job, then she's got to kind of toe the line, if you will, and that's probably true for some men as well. But I just think, you know, women. I don't know why women, you could say it's hormonal or everything. I still think it goes back to the fact that we have to work twice as hard to make half as much. And it's still, that's a big generalization, Drew, but I hate to say it, it feels authentic.
Totally get it. Totally get it. All right, let's move on to our next survey today. This one from the University of Pennsylvania. It's got a silly title. It's called Shorn Scalps and Perception of Male Dominance. In other words, what do women think about bald men? That's kind of what it is. And call me crazy, but if you went to the University of Pennsylvania and you're doing these kinds of surveys,
yes,
do you need to get your money back?
Well, you know,
they did a little survey where they showed people pictures of the same guy with a full head of hair and then him bald, and they ask people, you know, to respond to how they saw this guy. Those surveyed rated bald men as more confident and dominant. How about that?
This comes from a country filled with people who haven't read the Constitution since high school. I've got to tell you something right now. I think if this is a stranger, you can make that quick judgment. And people do all the time on these dating things, I'm sure, the dating websites and so forth. But whether or not he has hair on his head may matter to him. But to me, it wouldn't matter that much because if I love the guy or
there's
a relationship and we're friendly, I don't think who cares how much hair he's got.
Well, that's nice. It's nice of you to say that. I'm sure you know that you look beneath the skin. But a lot of women have make choices about, you know, who they want to be with. You know, and this is all really good news for the 85% of men out there who have significantly thinning hair by the age of 50. By the age of 50, most of us have a lot of hair loss. I have hair loss. I have a bald spot on top of my head. I don't like it. And I would like to have that.
How often are you in back of yourself looking at that?
Well, the other good thing is I'm very tall. So, you know, as long as I stand up, no one knows.
So just stay away from people who are 7 feet tall and you're fine.
According to the study, baldness can make a man look 4 years older on average. So if you have hair, people will guess you at one age. shave it off, they assume you're older than they guessed the first time.
If he's 86 and he looks 90, that might make a difference, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there's probably young guys who, you know, the skinheads, let's face it. I mean, there's that too. There was Telly Savalas. There was Yul Brynner. There were sexy men in Hollywood who were bald.
I think they were also
accomplished actors. You know what I'm saying?
The hair is a distraction from the face. So if you've got great hair, you can have a really bad, saggy face. But if you have no hair and a saggy face, oh, we're in trouble if we do that. So I don't know.
This sounds like a sad column in like Glamour magazine.
So it's much easier to be bald when you're 20 than when you're 63. I'm just saying. All right, let's move on to our next topic. Here's the headline. Our love of shopping and to-do lists is keeping handwriting alive. Cell phones and keyboards everywhere in our lives, many of us don't ever write anything down with a pen. 2,000 adults were polled, and 23% said their main reason to write anything by hand was to make a list.
I make lists.
Yeah.
And I think it's. I also think it's sad that you can't find a pen when you want one now because of that. I think that's true.
Yeah, we don't even. I wonder what all this has done to the pen business. Like, if you're at Bic, did Bic have to let people go because of this?
I don't know. There's something for you to research instead of baldness.
There's a pen decline, and we're losing jobs in the pen market because people just don't want to write by hand anymore.
Well, that's not the main concern. That's probably a concern, especially if you work for a company that makes pens. I do think that when you write, you use a different part of your brain, I'm going to guess. There's something different that's at work. It helps you think. I find myself typing on a keyboard more than anything when I want to write something and compose and think about it.
Sure.
I recently had some work done on my car. I got, within the week, a handwritten little thank you note saying, thank you for using our service, and we hope you're pleased, and you'll come handwritten with an actual pen.
You never get that. You never get that. No.
I called them up. I called them, and I said, I just want to tell you, I think this is such a classy thing to do. No one does this anymore. And all I'm saying from this little scenario is that it sticks out.
No, it's true.
So write something by hand. And so in that case, please write so that people can understand it and read it.
Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap this up. Very interesting. Writing notes, handwritten notes. I love that. We're glad you joined us today for Older and Wiser.
And we should tell you that links to our podcasts or anything else you might be interested in the 50-plus category, go to olderandwiser.com.
And we will see you next time.